All right. Good morning, everyone. We're going to call this meeting of the TRPA Legal Committee to order. The date is Wednesday, October 26, 2022, and it is 9:51. The first item on the agenda is the roll call to determine quorum. Catherine, can you please call the roll? Or
Maria?
Oh, sorry.
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
Mr. Rice?
Hello.
Thank you. Mr. Yates?
Yes.
Ms. Aldine?
Yes.
Mr. Hicks?
Present.
Ms. Novosel?
Here.
Ms. Williamson?
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to go through some of our housekeeping rules for members of the public who are joining us remotely. To observe the meeting, go to trpa.gov. Under the calendar header, click on Governing Board Hybrid Meeting for October 26, 2022. There you will find the link to the public meeting hosted on Zoom. To address committee members directly with your comments, raise your hand in Zoom by clicking Raise Hand at the bottom of your screen at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the committee. If you have used the dial-in numbers to join us by telephone, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and be unmuted. To our remote committee members, if you wish to speak, please also raise your hand in Zoom. You will find the hand icon on the bottom of your screen. Remote committee members may not use the chat box to make any comments or to have sidebar conversations. Please, everyone, remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on background noise. Finally, I would also like to ask all remote members to turn on their cameras if they are able. Members of the public who have joined us in person, please raise your hand at the appropriate time for public comment, and you will be called on to the front to speak. Committee members who are in person, please raise your hand if you wish to comment and speak clearly into the microphone in front of you. If you're viewing the webinar on a personal computer, please ensure that your microphone and speakers are turned off to prevent audio feedback into the room. Next on our agenda is approval of the agenda. Staff, are there any changes to the agenda at this time?
No changes.
Thank you. We will deem this agenda approved as posted. We will now move on to agenda item number 2, which is approval of the minutes. We have a set of minutes for September 28th, 2022 on page 15 of your packets. Are there any questions, comments, or changes on the agenda minutes?
Madam Chair, I move to approve the minutes from the Legal Committee meeting of September 28th, 2022 as presented.
Thank you. We have a motion. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes. Now we're going to move on to the next item on our agenda, which is the appeal of the Tahoe Transportation District, Washoe County School District temporary use, which is TRPA file number ERSP 2021-0673, 771 Southwood Boulevard and 915 Northwood Boulevard, Incline Village, Washoe County, Nevada, assessor parcel number 132-20102 and 132-01205, TRPA file number admin 2022-0027. This is information on this can be found on page 127 of your packets. I'd like to pass this over now to John Marshall to give the TRPA staff presentation for 15 minutes.
Thank you. Can we have the next first slide, please? So we are talking about the permit the TRPA issued to TTD for up to 2 years of summer use of two properties in Incline to serve as parking and transit stops for the East Shore Express. As you know, the East Shore Express runs up and down Highway 28 on the East Shore and is provides substantial transportation, public transportation, and transit to beachgoers and other recreationalists wishing to access the east side and also to reduce the parking along Highway 28 at various places. The permit that TRPA issued, the temporary permit, the staff person assigned was Bridget Cornell, and she was here, unless she's behind the podium. And she's here also to provide any answers to questions should you have them. As you said, the packet starts at page 127. The temporary use permit was issued by a hearings officer and then a group of 26 or so incline residents and concerned citizens filed an appeal. The appeal goes to a number of questions that are addressed in the staff report, which I will summarize very briefly. But let's first go to the on this slide. You can see the there's two properties, the Northwood and the Southwood properties. The Northwood property is circled in yellow, and that's a backup. That's the existing Incline Elementary School, and that's the backup parking. If the Southwood, which is the old Incline Elementary School site, which is circled in red, or the red outline, that provides the main parking area and transit stop for the Incline Express within this area of Incline. Next slide, please. This is just a quick graphic of from the permit for, I believe this is the Southwood station. Thank you, Bridget. Bridget, why don't you come up to the mic and yes, and help me when I or wherever you would like. Why don't you come up with it? And then next slide, please. So this is the old elementary school, and this is the Northwood site and the current elementary school. And so what you can see are basically parking lots that are utilized by members of the public to park and then access the East Shore Express at the designated spot. So the major issues for you all to consider are first, whether or not these parties have sufficient interest in these permits. Generally, that's satisfied if someone is affected by the permit as issued. The issue was raised for us because within the appellate papers or the appeal papers, there was no demonstration that these folks either lived in the area that were directly affected by these transit stops. You may want to hear from them on this issue and then decide whether or not under rules of procedure, there's sufficient interest in these appellants to continue with the appeal. Assuming that you do find sufficient interest, I will very quickly go over the main issues. The first issue really goes to our special use findings. This is a special use of the transit stop within these plan area, within the area plan. And these are so you need to make it, there's three special use findings. There's really two at issue here. This is on 21.2.2A and B. The first issue really has to do with whether or not the surrounding use, whether the proposed use is consistent with the surrounding uses. And I think the findings are fairly clear from the hearings officer that given that these were either old or existing school sites, the use of these as, you know, a bus pull-up and a parking lot are consistent with not only the old use, the current use, but also the surrounding uses. Next is the special use finding regarding detriment to surrounding properties. Again, I think as set forth in the staff report, the hearing officer detailed his findings regarding why it would not be injurious or disturbing to the health, safety, and enjoyment of property of the surrounding entities. And this really here brings us, I think, to the to to one of the main appellant's concern, which is really has to do with the mobility hub, which is not the project before us, and the future development of the Southwood site as a permanent mobility hub for TTD to operate the East Shore Express out of, and perhaps other transit services as well. And that is not really what's before you today. And that what's before you today is just this continuation of the use that TTD has been putting to these sites over a number of years, and whether or not there was the appropriate determinations made for this seasonal temporary use. And I think we run through that on my copy of my staff report doesn't have the page numbers, so I apologize for that. The next issue really is kind of folds right along with that, and whether or not the Chapter 21 use that the staff identified here, which is transit stations and terminals, was the appropriately designated use. Again, the major concern here, I believe the appellant's major concern, is that it shouldn't be identified as a mobility hub, which it's not, or it should be try to identify with the purpose of what was identified in the application. And the application describes what the use is. The staff really went through, and Bridget can go over this if you'd like, the appropriate use chart within table in chapter 21, and identified transit stations as the appropriate special use to identify here. Again, appellant's main concern is whether or not the other descriptions that occur within the record somehow are inconsistent with the use of the transit station special use identification. And for us, that's not really the legal issue. The legal issue here is whether or not it was appropriate to identify this transit use as a transit station and terminal. And I think just from the weight of the evidence, it was appropriate that that is probably the only identifiable and correct use for what TTD is proposing here. Finally, we have concerns regarding the environmental documentation that was done for the project, and there's two concerns there. One is that there's a provision of our rules of procedure 6.2 that says TRPA shall coordinate where possible, where feasible, with any NEPA or CEQA process that is going on for the same project at the same time. There is no appropriate NEPA or CEQA project that is identified here. It's in Nevada, so CEQA doesn't apply. NEPA may apply, but there is no federal action regarding the continued use and the issuance of a special use permit. So there is no NEPA process to coordinate with. So 6.2 doesn't apply. And finally, there was concerns regarding the IEC itself that was prepared. I noticed in some of the recent emails, there was somehow the IEC was identified as being prepared in 2014. That is actually just the date of that form at the bottom. So the IECs were performed timely within, and again, Bridget can walk you through any of your concerns about the IEC. The last issue that I'd like to talk about is the conditions, a couple of conditions of the permit, I think, that are relevant. And this is page 138 of your packet, and in particular, condition 7, which really addresses parking. And I think we understand that because of the popularity of the East Shore Express, there have been some parking issues on site, and staff has been working with TTD to meet condition 7, which really identifies where their parking can be allowed. And given that, there has been some parking in the past on dirt, and in areas where we don't want it, and for them to be consistent with condition seven, we're working with them to establish some ways in which we can block off the dirt parking and better coordinate their operation of this site. So when there's overflow into the Northwood site, that can happen seamlessly. Carl Hasty, unfortunately, can't make it today, but we have several TTD representatives who you can talk to, will be coming up and doing their presentation at the appropriate time. So I will stop there. We think the hearings officer's two-year temporary permit was reasonably issued and that there was substantial evidence to support the conclusions that he made. And if there's any questions, I can answer them or we'll move on.
Here we go. Please go ahead, Mr. Yates.
Thank you. John, yesterday I received an email from the lead appellant, Vanderpool, providing a significant number of photographs and comments. Also, his address, which is on a street adjacent to this facility. And I mean, I read the question on standing. We had some email correspondence about that, and also looked again at their thing. And clearly, based on the statement, it was just generalized opposition and no real specificity that gave you any sufficient sense of their interest in the appeal. I get that. But since that time, they have now sent in the stuff. Is this a time issue as far as getting this material to us?
Yes. So if Mr. Vanderpool lives in the area, is directly affected by the traffic, then we would accept that as establishing a sufficient interest.
So
it's a fairly low bar, but you have to show some connection to the problem that you're wanting TRPA to address.
Right. Yeah. Part of my nervousness about that standing issue is just simply my own experience in my legal practice of how lay people are given some breaks on some of the issues that if you had hired an attorney and followed the procedures, you may not have that. But nonetheless, I did receive that information directed to all the rest of us on this committee. Of all this information that seems to suggest that there's some traffic issues, there's some parking issues, and it was presented by a person that lives adjacent to this parcel.
Then that would satisfy our concern for having sufficient interest in the parcel, in the permit.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to point that out. I don't know if we want to spend any time on this, but I'll leave it to the chair.
Well, if I may ask Mr. Marshall at this point, we are, as the committee, can hear the appeal then and say that we've gotten over the standing issue bar.
Yes, you can.
Okay. So I think that satisfies that. We can get to the issue on the merits. Ms. Aldine?
Beyond that, though, John, couldn't the appellants allege that they have sufficient interest just based on the impact of the proposed project on the general welfare of the region? Or is that too high a bar to clear?
I think that brings into question whether or not there's sufficient interest in the permit itself. This is not a constitutional standing question. It's whether or not, in your judgment, there is sufficient interest of who is appealing an issue, and is there sufficient interest in that party to allow them to bring the appeal. You know, you can imagine that there is someone who has a vendetta against somebody, and they decide, I'm going to appeal your permit just because I don't like you. And they have no connection to the subject of the appeal. That to me is an illustration of where there's no sufficient connection. You're talking kind of generally about
cumulative impacts.
Cumulative impacts then would be an impact. but you have to allege that you suffered those. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do that. So now they've, as Bill states, seems like for the committee, that connection has been made. Okay. Connection between the person who is filing the appeal and the adverse effect that they're complaining about.
Okay. All right.
So if I may, and I don't want to speak for the committee, but it sounds to me like we've all decided that there is sufficient interest here to talk about the appeal. Is that accurate? Thank you. Is there, Wes? I want to make sure that if you had any questions or comments, I didn't mean to ignore you.
No, I have been listening. I assume that he has some interest in the question. However, I have some questions of the total amount of impact that this will have on the plaintiff or the appellant.
Thanks, Wes. I think at this point, it would be good to hear from Rhonda Tyser, the appellant's presentation. And then from there, we can go on to the public comment and then continue to ask questions and have deliberation. That's all right with you all? Okay. Ms. Tyser, if you'd like to, please go ahead for 15 minutes.
I will. Thank you so much. Good morning to everyone. I am making these comments on behalf of 25 Incline Village appellants to the TRPA Legal Committee and the Governing Board. We are requesting that the Legal Committee recommend our appeal be heard, thank you, and that the Governing Board reverse the temporary use permit for the TTD's East Shore Express. I will refer from now on to the East Shore Express as ESE and to the old Incline Elementary School as the OES. I will begin with restating our right to have our appeal heard by the TRPA board before responding to the staff rebuttal of our appeal. Staff is wrong to recommend that the governing board should decline to hear our appeal. TRPA Rules of Procedure 11.6.1 does not require appellants to show we are particularly affected, but only that we have sufficient interest in the outcome of the appeal.
And Ms. Tyser, I don't mean to cut you off. The committee has found that, so please go ahead and continue on with your appeal.
All right, I will. And I just want to make sure that they understand that we don't need to all show that we were aggrieved. By right, we were all at the hearings, and therefore we have the right to appeal. Thank you. Now I'll go on. I will mention the specific issues in the TRPA staff report and refer my responses to sections of the report. Section A, appellants fail to demonstrate standing. I've just covered this. Section B1, the evidence supports special use findings. The first finding is the ESE transit station is an appropriate use for the surrounding area. We disagree. The staff rebuttal only addresses the type of use allowed in the area and does not address the equally important, quote, nature, scale, and intensity, unquote, of use. In fact, the majority of input from Incline residents over the years has been evidence that the nature, scale, and intensity of the ESE is damaging and dangerous to the surrounding neighborhood and the community at large. Catherine, please start the slideshow. The two-lane road is not big enough to handle ESE traffic. Every ESE bus and tourist car heading to the OES parking lot goes through the stoplight at the Highway 28 intersection with Southwood. As buses and cars turn through from Highway 28 onto Southwood, they go down a steeply curved two-lane road that in a few hundred feet leads past the OES to the Village Center and the U.S. Post Office. Most Incline residents pick up mail on a daily basis because Incline doesn't have home delivery. So hundreds of residents must go through that same stoplight and down Southwood past the OES every day. The ESE causes traffic jams on both Southwood and Highway 28. The ESE entrance to the OES parking lot is just a few hundred feet down Southwood from that intersection. During peak periods, as tourist cars go through this intersection, before they can enter the OES, they pull to the right to wait along the curb. When cars are backed up all the way from the OES entry to Highway 28, there is massive spillover effect, so cars heading east on 28 can't even get through the light to turn right to go down Southwood. The ESE transit station is not an appropriate use for the surrounding area. Even if the type of use is correct, the nature, scale, and intensity of use at this site is wrong. Section B2, the ESE transit station will not be detrimental to surrounding property. Staff members contend the ESE at the OES does not include physical changes to the proposed location and conclude that it will therefore not be injurious or disturbing to the health, safety, enjoyment of property, or general welfare of the persons or properties in the neighborhood. We disagree. Just because there are no physical changes to the property as yet does not mean that there are no negative impacts on Incline residents' health, safety, or general welfare. Nearby residents have provided numerous examples over the years, most recently, appellate Aaron Vanderpool. His 87-page formal complaint to TRPA and TTD documents negative impacts to him and others in the neighborhood. In his complaint, he references increased crime, trespassing, illegal use of HOA and business properties, public endangerment due to speeding, illegal backing up into traffic, illegal U-turns, pedestrians nearly hit by cars, a cyclist nearly hit, dangerous swerving around cars along the curb waiting to enter the lot, trash, noise, pollution, and against TRPA regulations, parking on dirt. We believe these evidence-based complaints prove TRPA staff is wrong in saying that there are no injurious or disturbing effects of the ESE at the OES. Further, staff members contend that the vehicle miles traveled analysis was a sufficient traffic study by which to conclude the ESE causes no increased traffic impacts. They studied only traffic impacts on vehicle miles traveled and traffic volume. In fact, the ESE negatively impacts traffic, neighbors, and nearby HOA and business property parking. People hurrying to make the bus park wherever they find space, loading and unloading recreational equipment and children illegally as convenient, making illegal U-turns on a two-way street, and so on. Appellant Vanderpool's photos show numerous traffic and parking problems. These negative traffic effects in his formal complaint will be multiplied 100-fold should the ESE continue to operate from an expanded OES bus station. Staff's dismissal of our documented traffic concerns and complaints is simply wrong. Finally, Section D, staff concluded there was no need to coordinate with the FTA or NDOT because there was no NEPA or Categorical Exclusion Protective Property Acquisition Action or process with which to coordinate. We disagree. Because the 771 Southwood property was purchased using FTA federal funds via an application for funding in connection with a NEPA or CEQA by the Nevada DOT on behalf of the TTD, the primacy for regulatory environmental review considerations rests with the FTA under NEPA. Therefore, per TRPA Code of Procedures, Chapter 6.2, TRPA should have coordinated its environmental review of the changing use of the property. We continue to go on record that TRPA staff misrepresented TTD's past use of the OES for the ESE. The staff report says that the service has been operating for a number of years on a, quote, less formalized, unquote, basis. That statement is an obfuscation, vague and incomplete, since the past use of the property was that of a 10-year inactive elementary school campus with 8 years of illegal, non-permitted TTD ESE parking and a non-permitted TTD bus transit stop. Less formalized in this case means unpermitted, and unpermitted means illegal. We contend that TRPA's granting of the temporary use permit represented a change in use and was in fact an intensification of use of the parcel. The original NDOT TTD federal funding application stated, quote, "For the last 9 years, Tahoe Transportation District has been using the property for a seasonal transportation hub," unquote, when actually the past use of the property was that of a 10-year inactive school campus with 8 years of non-permitted TTD parking and a non-permitted bus transit stop. We contend that there was a change in use, and that change was from illegal to legal, which staff cannot deny. In summation, we Incline residents know from years of experience that the ESE service from the OES has had an overall negative impact on our village core. For this reason, we are united against the TTD operating the ESE parking and transit service at the OES. We are not against a mobility hub in Incline. We are against the ESE operating from this particular site. We also know that TTD and TRPA use the, quote, "tyranny of small decisions," unquote, to advance their objectives. This temporary use permit approval is just one small decision following many other small decisions with more to come. To date, TRPA has not completed a comprehensive environmental study of the cumulative impacts of this temporary use permit on Incline Village. We contend TTD is wrong to operate the ESE at the OES, and TRPA staff was wrong to approve the use permit allowing TTD to do so. We stand firmly on our entire appeal and ask you to do what's right. Reverse the TRPA staff's temporary permit decision. Thank you on behalf of all appellants and citizens of Incline Village.
Thank you, Ms. Teitzer. Are there any questions right now from the committee? Okay. Seeing none, I'd like to pass this off to, I believe, George Fink for a 10-minute presentation.
Yes, thank you. Morning, Madam Chair, committee members. George Fink with TTD, Transit System Program Manager. East Shore Express was established as part of a systematic approach to addressing the chronic congestion in the SR-28 corridor and as part of a larger regional transportation system that's been planned for well over a decade. East Shore Express operations began as a pilot program in 2012, operating each season from June through Labor Day for 8 years, 2012 through 2019, in partnership with Nevada State Parks. In 2020 and 2021, the service was suspended due to the pandemic. This year, the East Shore Express came back as an extremely successful return to service following that two-year pause. Despite a shorter operating season, only 72 days versus 77, ridership was 29,161 riders. That's 79% of the 2019 operating season, and this particular season was operated with only one bus rather than the two buses that was typical before. The East Shore Express parked around 3,188 cars, getting those off the road throughout the season at both the old elementary school, 771 Southwood, and the existing Incline Elementary School at 915 Northwood. In the report submitted to TRPA, that has the breakdown of all the parking, ridership, days, buses, all the things that were required during the permit. There were 7 recorded comments during the season, 6 during the season, with one coming in after the close of the season, and then Aaron's comment coming in, was that 2 days ago? So that would bring that total to 2 after the close of the season. Of the 6 comments that were during the season, one of them was a compliment, 4 were operational complaints related to East Shore, and 1 was an operational complaint related to an East Shore Express bus returning to the yard in South Lake Tahoe. The 7th comment was received on September 26th from Doug Flaherty and contained numerous items. And I think there's, certainly things that can be done to improve the service. You know, these things, like any service, can always be improved as we go forward. I think that some of the discussion about the backing up on Southwood, we can open the gates earlier to make sure that people aren't backing up onto Southwood. For parking in unpaved areas on the actual school site, TDD can work to put temporary barriers there to prevent parking in the unpaved areas. For the parking attendants, I think that the parking attendants can do a better job, and we will do better training to ensure that the overflow yacht lot is used properly. And of course, we did have some issues with information from Nevada State Parks not being communicated properly. So we want to make sure that we work a little bit closer with Nevada State Parks to make sure that they are telling people that are coming to the park the correct information and that people are going to the correct place. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to address those. And Tara Frank, also with TTD, is in the audience today, and she can also address any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any immediate questions, committee members? Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, George, thank you for your presentation. I guess my question is, looking at those last photos, which Ms. Tyser also put up on the screen, which we saw, we're doing this shuttle because of this reduces traffic by taking people out of their cars and parking them in these spots, and that's all very beneficial. But it's like any community that kind of is at the end of the line, they tend to take a lot of the adverse impacts. One of which I'm concerned about is not only the line, but just the kind of lack of signage that the lot is full. That in many places that you go to, whether it's a ball game or any number of stuff, if the lot's full, the lot's full. And there's signage out there, there would be on 28 to let people know, so that you either go to the overflow area or things like that. And so I guess my concern is the permit conditions that I've seen, and the ones that our general counsel also pointed to, are pretty vague. And I think that it would be nice to have some more specificity as to how this is going to be done, and also how complaints, where complaints would go, and then how you would deal with that issue. There's complaints of, from the photos, I mean, I'm really just focusing on just the traffic consequence. That's dangerous to the bikers, it's dangerous to cars, the impatience of people, which is just human nature as they try to catch the bus. All those things I don't think have been worked out if we did a better transportation plan for this site. And then also the other issue, the question I really got is that the pilot project approval, when was that done? I mean, how was that actually an approval through state parks, or was it through TRPA?
Okay, so a couple things there that I can answer. First off, on the signage for the street, we've tried a couple of different ways of doing that over the years. That's something that we can continue to work with NDOT on, as well as state parks. I think that goes back to better coordination between the agencies, particularly with NDOT, to be able to allow, something like a changeable message sign to direct people where they need to go before it becomes an issue. As far as the parking goes, I think you can see from the parking logs that TTD submitted in the report. What you're seeing there is like anything where you have an event that opens up, you have an initial stack on that. That is certainly not an all-day situation. That is a point source in the beginning of the day and at the end of the day during the initial fill and the initial download. That's proven out through the data. And so, yes, you do have some parking impacts there. What we're committing to do is open the gates earlier so that we can try to alleviate any of that stack from people that are trying to get there early. Typically, we've opened the gates at 10 with the arrival of the first bus. And I think that's something that we could certainly look into is getting the parking attendants there earlier to open the gates going forward. As for the pilot project approval, I'll have to defer to TRPA on what approval TRPAs, if any, had given at that point. I'm not aware of whether that was through the Park Service, through TRPA, or not.
There we go. Okay. Bridget Cornell, I'm a planner in the Permitting and Compliance Department here. The pilot project approval, that was not something approved by TRPA. I believe that is in reference to some funding that the Tahoe Transportation District got at the time to begin this process. And like George mentioned in his presentation, this is part of a comprehensive eShore management plan. And the pilot project was kind of a test case, if you will, to see how the shuttle would operate by capturing the residents in Incline before heading to Sand Harbor. If anybody has driven along the East Shore from the north headed towards Sand Harbor in the summer, it backs up all the way to Incline Village very frequently. So that is one of the problems that was trying to be addressed with this pilot project, but the pilot project was not previously approved by TRPA. And, you know, over the years, it's been brought to our attention, and that was the purpose of bringing it forward now as a temporary use.
Thank you.
Okay, if there aren't any other immediate questions, I'd like to turn it back over to Ms. Tyser for a 5-minute rebuttal.
Thank you. I would like to mention that the Comprehensive East Shore Pilot Plan was designed to decrease vehicle miles traveled and alleviate parking along the East Shore. There is no reason Incline should be sacrificed for this greater good. If in the 2022 season, the East Shore Express counted 3,188 cars driving into the basin from wherever their entry was to the old elementary school, then parking and saving 14 miles, 7 to and 7 from Sand Harbor, that is not going to reduce vehicle miles traveled to save the lake. And it's not going to reduce the bumper to bumper parking along the East Shore. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Tyser. Ms. Aldine?
Thank you, Haley. So it's been suggested that some of the offsite parking is from an adjacent apartment complex. And I'm wondering if anybody from TTD can validate that. Do we know that all of the cars that are parking offsite are people who are utilizing the transit service?
As far as people that are parking offsite, you know, TTD has control of the old elementary school. We don't have control of the surface streets in Incline Village, so we have no idea who's parking where or why.
Through observation, I would think you have an attendant on site, right? So if those people are exiting their cars, they're parking outside of the perimeter of the, you know, designated parking area and boarding an express, then you know that they're your passengers as opposed to people living in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah, we currently don't track where people are coming from as far as walking into the yard. The parking attendants are there more to govern parking, not to, observe the ridership. If that's something that TRPA would like to see in the future, we'd certainly be open to that.
Thank you.
Well, I think it's important. I think in a general, this is just a general statement. I think part of the problem is, you know, the ultimate solution to this problem is not only having parking of this nature in the basin, but satellite parking lots outside of the basin where these people should be intercepted if they're coming into the basin to go to Sand Harbor. I mean, because it would be nice if we could somehow, you know, conduct a poll and find out. I mean, we have a general idea that the appellant has said that about approximately 3,100 people are coming in from outside of the area, outside of the basin. If those people could be intercepted outside of the basin and transported into the basin, I mean, that to me is the ultimate solution. And I know that's not what we're considering here today, but I think that it needs to be an integrated part of the final transportation project going forward.
Absolutely. And that is part of the entire SR-28 corridor plan from 2012 that outlined that system that included not only internal mobility hubs and circulation within the basin, but also those external mobility hubs and intercepts. What's important to remember there is that for any external intercept to work is you have to have the transit system in place within the basin to move the people that are coming there. And that has not materialized within the Tahoe Basin as of yet. So these things are incremental. It takes a long time to move things forward in Tahoe, but that is the plan. And, you know, Incline Village is not a, you know, it's not a sacrificial community, as Ms. Dicer had put it, but it's more along the lines of it's one part of a larger system, and it happens to be the one that is up now. Obviously, Tahoe City has a mobility hub there, and TTD is moving forward with improvements on SR-28, which would include a mobility hub at Spooner. So these things, it's not a an or, it's an and. We need both the internal structure within the basin and that external structure to go along with it. But we need to build the internal before we build the external. Otherwise, there's nowhere for people to go.
Ms. Frank?
Tara Frank, transit planner and analyst with TTD. I was just going to refer the committee back quite a few years to the SR-28 National Scenic Byway Management Plan that incorporates the pilot project. It was in partnership with Carson City County, Douglas County, Incline Village GID, NDOT, the Nevada Division of State Lands, the Nevada Division of State Parks, TRPA, U.S. Forest Service, Washoe County, Washoe Tribe, and the Nevada Highway Patrol. And that referred to, it started with the SR-28 Byway Management Plan with this pilot project that has since continued to what we are discussing today, but also included other projects, much to what George was just referring to, mobility hubs that would serve as intercept lots. Those were part of that concept. It was part of a greater oversight or bigger picture that would address things from a regional perspective, because as George mentioned, it's absolutely recognized that it's necessary. But it was planned by all these partners from that perspective. It's just, it comes with funding issues. At the time, this was funded largely by federal highways funding that is no longer in play. It's outdated. So now we're looking at transit funding and how that can play into solutions. We are working to get those partners back into play, but right now we have just completed additional portions of that project or that management plan with the bikeway, and the other projects that were in consideration were the Incline Gateway, which is that roundabout that was also completed, And then also the Nevada State Park General Management Plan update, among others.
Thank you. Any other questions at this time from the committee?
I don't have any questions. You want to just open it up to public comment?
Yep.
Okay.
We'll now go to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the governing board on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. I would like to note that if you have designated Ms. Tyser to speak on your behalf, that she's already spoken, so you will be limited and not able to provide public comment at this time. Any members of the public wishing to make a comment?
Madam Chair, the hands raised are both listed appellants, Mr. Doug Flaherty and Mr. Aaron Vanderpool. Otherwise, there are no other hands raised.
Thank you. And I would, at this, since we did hear from a person you represent, said that you've had represent you in speaking at this time, I would ask if there's any other members of the public that wish to comment at this time. It sounds like there aren't.
Madam Chair, there are no other hands raised.
Thank you. Okay, at this time I will close public comment. And now is the time for committee deliberation to come to a recommendation on this matter. Mr. Gates.
What I guess my concern is that even though this is a temporary use and a pilot project prior to pre-COVID and now the post-COVID, I understand the importance of this temporary use, but I'm not sure that we've done the due diligence that would be required of this kind of a project. So I would support the appeal, and because I would think that we TRPA should reach out to NDOT and Nevada State Parks and the Incline Village folks, and we try to come up with a transportation plan that would include better signage, how complaints would be filed, where they'd be filed. I mean, if I went to the parking lot at the start of the Impossible Trail and I have trouble getting my fee, I have a place that I can immediately call to say, hey, I can't get my ticket. Those are just things that I just think we should try to resolve. And we do have time because we're not in the middle of the season. We're at the end of the season. So we have time to kind of pull this together and then bring this back. I don't think that this requires significant environmental review or any of that, but I do think a little more diligence in preparing this. So that's why I would support and make a recommendation to the full board to grant the appeal, just so more work would be done on the conditions and mitigation measures.
I could just respond. You do have the, on an appeal, you do have the ability to modify the conditions.
Right.
So if you felt like the conditions need to be strengthened or made clear or address something else, you also have the option of recommending to the governing board that the permit be amended to address X, Y, and Z. So that's another possible avenue that might address your concerns. Also,
that's the reason why I'm doing. I don't feel like I can just toss out conditions and mitigation measures right now without kind of a sense of what could NDOT do about making sure there's better messaging. I mean, those automatic signs they put up there that say lots full, go to the overflow lot at such and such, you know, and then people would kind of know. We would circulate just like we do for people that are using the lake, the information that we get out to the people about where the no wake zones are and all the other stuff, that kind of information should get out. And working with state parks, so they would hand out this material. So that's the reason I'm doing it, but I don't want to throw out conditions, recommend conditions. But the issue for me is the traffic problem, and traffic and parking.
I have Sue, and then I have Shelley.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to bring another perspective to this. In that, you know, when we do pilot programs around, I've done enough pilot programs to understand that there's always impacts. And I totally agree that looking at pictures of this, understanding there are impacts that have not been addressed properly. But I don't want to be the one throwing the baby out with the bathwater and saying that this needs to stop. I think what we have here, I was looking at the conditional permit on number 12. It says TRPA reserves the right to amend any portion of this permit in determining the cause of significant adverse effects, which is, I think, what we're dealing with here today, in my mind at least. And can we find words that will give us the ability, or the ability to make some changes that obviously need to happen. So I would prefer that we try to find that in there. We know that the signage will help. The electronic signboards will help. And we put that in there. The idea of stopping the parking on the side, the illegal parking, can we make that a requirement? As such, it's on number 7, talking about parking. And specifically, it says when the primary site reaches capacity, customers will be directed to overflow. Maybe we need some stronger wording in there. I would suggest that that there's some stronger wording suggesting that that they must address this in a timely manner somehow. Because I feel that parking is probably the biggest impact that is what's happening with this pilot program. Again, I will keep saying this over and over. It's a pilot program. This is how we get to a process, through a process, to get to a design that works. So again, I hate to just stop the process. I don't want to do that. I think there's a way to mitigate it by understanding the impacts and dealing with them today.
Okay. Shelley and then Wes.
You know, both Bill and Sue, I think, have done a good job of articulating their concerns. I tend to lean in favor of, I'm assuming, John, we have a latitude. I mean, if we deny the appeal and uphold the hearing officer's decision, can we stay the issuance of the temporary permit until some of these issues are addressed? I think we need to be more inclusive. We've received a fairly lengthy appeal from Diane Becker, who's a local Incline Village resident, and her plea to us was to involve somebody from the community who is negatively impacted by some of these problems. And I think we need to be more inclusive. For example, going to the Washoe County Sheriff's Department and finding out whether or not they'll be willing to ticket vehicles that are parked offsite. I think we need to bring more people into our circle in order to come up with a more robust enforcement program. So my question to you is, if we move to deny the appeal and uphold the hearing officer's decision to issue the temporary use permit, can we at the same time stay the issuance of that permit?
What I would do instead, let me just a couple of responses. First, there was an extensive hearings officer process where most, as I indicated, most of these people had input in those hearings, or there's 3 of them. But you may also want to look at, you know, the life of the permit. Right now, the permit is for 1 year or 1 season and can be extended to another season. So if they want to operate next season, they either need to extend this permit, or you also have the ability to say, no, we only think this permit should only be a 1 year permit, i.e. the season that has already occurred. And you need to come back for another permit for the second season. And we need to see these things addressed in that second permit. So stronger wording regarding signage to more, you know, better inform the public as to where to go. Issue, you know, a better design and of temporary barriers or barriers to, you know, to really control off-street parking. Those things that we've heard you loud and clear on can be brought forward in another process that would be, you know, a public process that goes before the hearings officer to address these items. And I don't know if, did you want to add to that?
A couple of clarifying points regarding the parking. Somebody was asking about the parking earlier and the adjacent land uses. There is quite a few multifamily developments in the area, some pretty dense residential uses, including a large apartment complex across the street from this site. So some of the parking issues are related to the surrounding land uses. I mean, there were parking issues even while the transit service wasn't operating. So, you know, to clarify one point, maybe all those cars parking off the pavement weren't necessarily related to the transit service, but we don't know that for sure. I also agree with what Ms. Novosel said regarding this being a pilot project. Part of the appeal of approving something on a temporary basis is as an information gathering opportunity. So we were hoping to gather, we and the Tahoe Transportation District, it's useful for us to get feedback in situations like this so we can tweak the conditions or work to, it's just information that we can keep in mind in the longer term planning process. So we have been, we're keeping track of the information regarding the complaints that some of the complaints that did come in during the season, we passed those complaints along to the Tahoe Transportation District, and they were responsive, like George mentioned in his presentation, because the gates were opening right as the first vehicle came in, there were some traffic backups. They came and were opening the gates really early so that people could come and park earlier. Regarding, conditions, I agree. I think we can add some additional conditions to the permit, whether we want to agree right now on, okay, we should have permits addressing this item and regarding some of the items that Mr. Yates mentioned. So, we can do it a number of different ways if we want to just agree to what those changes should be or bring something back.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Aldean, on a follow-up, and then Wes, I promised you're next.
Okay.
I'm just not real comfortable with moving forward with extending the permit until these issues are addressed. And that's why I was suggesting, rather than, overturning the hearing officer's issuance of a temporary permit, holding that the issuance of the permit in abeyance, pending the remedies, some of the remedies that we've been discussed being implemented by the TDD, and broadening the group of people who are invited to the table to provide meaningful input. I mean, this is obviously having an impact on the community. At least one of the appellants lives in close proximity, and I think we have to show some deference to him and to other people who are being negatively impacted, who may not have been involved in the appeal, but for a variety of reasons. They've just chosen not to come forward. But and the other question I have, I guess, Bridget, is the lot currently closed? Is it cordoned off? Can people park there or not?
The old elementary school site is currently fenced. It is entirely fenced all the way around. And so the gates were only being opened for the purposes of this project. A different part of the site was being used for staging for a construction project unrelated to this, but my understanding, and for the record, I do drive by it on a somewhat regular basis, the gates to the parking area as well as the bus turnaround area are closed when it's not being used for this purpose. So for example, as soon as the transit system stopped, it is no longer in use.
So for observational purposes, this would be a good time to see how many people are parking offsite outside of the gates and surmising where those cars are coming from, because if they're not parking there to access the transit system, then they are coming from the immediate neighborhood. And I think that's important because that's part of the argument by the appellants is that people are not abiding by the rules and these people are utilizing the service. And so it's become an attractive nuisance. So I think there's a lot of additional investigative work that needs to be done to make this palatable. That's why I'm suggesting just holding it in abeyance, not reversing the decision, but holding it in abeyance, giving direction to staff, to cooperate with TTD to investigate the implementation of some more robust control measures and to, you know, address in a meaningful way some of the problems that this transit location has created for the adjacent neighborhoods.
Wes?
My turn?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm in support of denial of the appeal. This is something that's been going on for not that long of a period. It is a pilot project. If we don't build it, they're going to come anyway. The people that have been parking along 28 and creating the hazards that we are trying to have an effect on are still going to come if we don't allow this mobility hub. I can understand the feeling of the locals that live there. We have the same problem in Zephyr Cove with people going to Nevada Beach and Round Hill Pines. They fill up the parking lot so that you can't hardly go to the market or get your mail. But that's another problem. And that's going to be resolved, I believe, with the transportation there due to the event center. But I believe that the parking mobility hub here is something that's very much needed. And I concur, we're going into this low season, which will give us time to address the signage issues. And for that reason, I concur with Ms. Novosel, and I support denial of the appeal. Thank you.
So I might try a motion. You guys tell me how I do based on what I've heard. Can I move as chair?
Yeah. Turn over to your vice chair.
Okay. Well, this is what I was going to suggest, and if someone wants to take me up on this is what I was thinking I was hearing. What if we deny the appeal, however, limit the permit to the past season, right? Because the permit was backward-looking. Before we grant the new permit, instead of extending it 1 year, we have conditions, including signage, more robust language to direct to overflow parking, opening the gates earlier, better training, better enforcement of barriers to parking on soft coverage, and coordinating with Nevada State Parks on the correct info to people parking, with the express direction to staff and TTD to work with the community as we potentially add to these requirements in order to issue the new permit next year.
I'll make that motion.
Yeah.
No, but I think that just covered all my X's up here that I was looking at. But yeah, sorry.
Well, I have potentially one more X.
Okay.
You know, I think that we also, someone really needs to talk to the sheriff of Washoe County on enforcement. I mean, if they're not going to enforce parking requirements, whether people are going to Sand Harbor or whether they're just neighbors who are taking advantage of additional parking there, I think that needs to be a condition too, that we have to have some assurance from Washoe County, you know, that there's going to be enforcement of this.
So wording wise,
and I understand the problems of enforcement too, but nevertheless, how do we add that to the list of?
I think that I could just address that generally. You know, parking enforcement is a significant issue in a lot of places in the basin. And I think we've been trying to deal with that on a broader scale. So, but I would recommend that we not attach a specific condition regarding parking enforcement on this particular area. So I think we can come back to you with informational items on what is happening, because it's a common issue that we're going to have. You heard Wes talk about, you know, further south on 28. And it requires that we work in a coordinated fashion with all the parking enforcement agencies, not just the sheriff, Washoe County Sheriff. And so what I don't want to do is put a condition on here that would essentially say the sheriff has to agree to enforce before we issue a permit. I think we can address the parking issues more on this particular site better through better markings and use of temporary barriers, et cetera.
Well, John, you know, my comment isn't that the sheriff has to agree to this, but this is a pilot project. And so we should use this pilot project to look at all critical issues affected by this project. And, you know, I agree with what Bill Yates said and the other members here. It's traffic and safety. And I also, I recognize the concerns of the Incline Village residents who have to put up with that. So, you know, I'm not saying that the sheriff has to sign off on it and guarantee anything, but I think we need to really have a better understanding of what can reasonably be expected in terms of enforcement, you know, of these traffic laws and requirements.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we can just figure out a language that says we work in coordination with them without, and that yeah. in itself would be asking them to be involved in it. But not putting the onus of having to enforce with tickets or whatever, but just
exactly.
working coordination.
TTD is the advocate for this, correct? So, I mean, I think that we should tell TTD that we want to have them certainly consult with the local law enforcement authorities that would be involved and to address their concerns and to advise us, the TRPA, you know, what is the enforcement plan going to be in this for this pilot project in this spot? And that will help us in the future too, as we look at other projects in other parts of the basin. So let's see if we can come up with a model, you know, that can extend.
So I will agree to amend my motion to include coordination with the Washoe Sheriffs.
All local law enforcement.
All local law enforcement.
Thank you. Yep, that's better.
Okay, thank you.
Please go ahead, Bill.
John, I just have the question here about the timing of this permit. So from what the chair was talking about, we're approving something that's already happened this past year?
No, the permit was issued in May of this year for this season that just closed.
Oh, and the appeal is on that decision.
Correct.
Okay, okay. Okay.
So that could be extended another year, but the motion that, as I understand it, is to essentially condition that extension on the satisfaction of enhanced conditions of approval and involvement of the Incline residents and coordination with local sheriffs. I mean, we'll basically pull those items from the transcript and I think, Bridget has written all those down, and I've taken notes. And so we'll then bring, you know, we'll need to bring that through another, you know, have some public process, given your expressed concerns about involving the Incline residents.
This is our recommendation to the full board.
Correct.
To agree. I am curious what the Washoe County Commissioner will have to say once we get this to her, but I want it to be something that's my concern. It's so much simpler for me to just simply, I understand the issue of, as Sue says, stopping the project. I don't want to stop the project. But this community has been all over us about their fear and loathing of the mobility hub or anything else we might possibly do in an overall transportation plan that we want to put together. To the extent that they feel at all that we're just blowing them off, it's not going to help us politically at all. I mean, and so the way that Haley has put this all together, and I guess you guys are kind of lean that way, but we must have something that addresses their concerns, that there is going to be some level of enforcement. But to me, it's kind of like what we went really honestly went through when we approved Shore Zone. We didn't come down heavy handed on enforcement, but we got a lot of information out about how this new Shore Zone was going to be implemented. And we got literature out. We worked with Take Care and we did all this stuff. none of which seems to be in the offing here for this. And that's the kind of stuff that needs to be done. The public needs to think that we care as we try to do things to benefit the lake and the communities involved. The transportation program should not be viewed as something that's going to be just super negative in various communities. And so I think we should try our best to address the Incline Village concerns here. And
Bill, if I
I would support this, but I'm, you know, I really don't want this to just be something that is going to be swept under the rug and we just limp along with this kind of not the best operation that we could possibly do.
And if I may, that's what I was really hoping that we could capture, was the balance between, I think, all of us agreeing that obviously transportation is the name of the game and the, you know, the importance of trying to continue to solve the transportation issues, but very much taking seriously the Incline residents' concerns and also knowing that there's some work we can do here. There's some solutions that we can try on going forward.
I do appreciate the tone and the reason you're putting that all together. Just my brief time when I was chair and I was on TTD's board, this group was just very concerned. I wish I would have had more time, but for health reasons and just COVID and other things, not to just sit down with them. It's like, why are you so opposed to everything that we do? I don't want them to get the sense that we aren't listening to them.
Yeah.
Okay, I said my piece.
Please.
The only thing, you know, Bill was right, and some of the appellants have pointed out that, you know, we went to great lengths with respect to short-term rentals to involve the public and to come up with a process that really reflected true consensus at the end of the process. And I think that's what they're looking for here. In fact, one appellant said as much. In other words, TRPA has become well known for its, you know, its integrated processes in terms of reaching out to the public and doing its best to ensure that public concerns are adequately addressed. And I think we fell a little short on this. I was a little bit disturbed by the fact that this, you know, that this site has been used on an informal basis for as long as it was without any oversight by TRPA. And I'm not trying to be critical. Obviously, TRPA has a lot on its plate. Well, I think that went a long way to persuading these folks that either we don't care or we're just, you know, we're not paying attention. And I don't want them to leave with that sense. I mean, we are concerned. We do have a lot on our plate. But, you know, and this is an important component of a overall scheme to address the needs, need for improved transit in and outside of the basin. But I just think we need to put our best foot forward in going forward with respect to this project. Thank you.
Thank you all. With that, I think we do have a motion on the floor. I'm going to turn it over. Oh, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to make sure we all understood or have clear and clear direction or recommendation to the governing board for direction to staff on what process to follow. So what I'm hearing you is essentially saying that their TRPA should not extend the permit until these things happen.
Yes.
And then that includes, are you directing us to take it back to the hearings officer for further findings regarding the extension of the permit, or that's done at staff level, or should it come back to the board? So I just want to make certain that we're clear and we understand what process you're envisioning for oversight for getting these conditions right.
And I don't mean to speak for us, but I'll throw out, I think we want to see it back at the board.
I think
we'd like to hear.
Yes, that. I would agree with that. I mean, I think we have to elevate the importance of this by bringing it back to the board.
Okay.
Everyone would like to know what the actual motion is.
Okay, we'll go back and repeat that.
Do you want to do it?
Could I'm sorry to interrupt. Could I please also ask a clarifying question regarding the, I think I had 8 or 9 items that were to be incorporated. I was interpreting that to be additional conditions that could be incorporated into the permit. So if you could clarify that you would like the permit revised to incorporate those conditions, or was it something other than
I believe that was my intent, our intent. So yes. Permit to be revised to include, and we had that list of 5 or 6, including signage, training, enforcement, with coordination with the local law enforcement, and inclusion of, and I don't know how exactly to do that, but inclusion of the locals somehow. I don't know how. Just public participation. Yeah, thank you. That would probably be effective that way.
Sue, would you like to restate the motion?
Bridget, maybe you can, you're just writing it fiercely here. Why don't you go ahead and can you please restate? Yes.
No, I was trying to fast and furiously write down what was being suggested earlier, and I did not get every one of them. So I was going to write down what as they're being said this time.
Okay.
I just didn't mean to be presumptuous. No, please. But this is okay. So the motion would be to deny the appeal. However,
a recommendation to the board
to deny the appeal. However, to not reissue the permit for next season until certain conditions are incorporated into the permit, which we will bring back to the board to talk about before the permit is issued. And those conditions are signage, increased signage, training, opening the gates earlier to deal with the parking, and this is encompassing of the parking issues, connecting and working with local law enforcement on the parking issues, making sure that there is public participation, coordinating with Nevada State Parks on the correct info, and then encompassed in that, those parking issues, I also have listed barriers to parking so that we're not parking on soft coverage and so that's more clear where it's appropriate to park.
Okay, everybody good with that? That covers where we're going.
So that is what that is what Sue moved.
Thank you, Haley.
Catherine, can you please call the roll?
Mr. Rice?
Can we get her on the speaker? Or
can you hear me?
If you're asking for my vote, I'm still trying to figure out voting yay or nay, what that will encompass. Are we voting to support denial of the appeal with the additional conditions?
Yes. And not so that because the appeal was for the permit issued last season, this going forward, these would be the conditions we would want to see before that permit is reissued. And we'd want to see it at the board level.
In that case, I vote aye.
Can everyone hear me?
Yes, please.
Mr. Rice is voting aye. Mr. Yates?
Oh, who's doing the roll?
Aye.
Ms. Aldi?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Novoselle?
Aye.
Ms. Williamson?
Yes.
Madam Chair, that motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And just for the record, this has been really helpful to hear the feedback from the committee. So thank you.
Thank you. So next we have discussion on out-of-basin projects. And this one is important to me. It's a discussion item. I know that we're already running over. I guess the question here is, do we want to defer this to a future legal committee meeting, or would you like to keep rolling now, committee?
We have a lot on our plate today, so what's staff's?
We can easily continue. It's really, this was an item that I think was requested to be placed on the agenda, so we're fine continuing it to November.
Bill, this is
as far as I know, I don't think it would harm
what's going on with this particular project that would be of concern, which you have to recuse yourself out of. I think that would be fine. I mean, in light of all the other things we need to do.
Just a second. Marcia, are you on the line? Is Marcia Birch?
Yes, I'm here, John.
Marcia, is it regarding Palisades Tahoe? Is that fine that we continue it for a month? Actually, it's for 3 weeks.
Yes.
Okay.
Bill, are you okay with that?
I'm good.
Okay, thank you all. With that, with your indulgence, I'd like to defer item 4 in the interest of time until November. And with that, let's move on to agenda item 5, which is committee member comments. Any committee members have comments? Okay, let's move on to public interest comments then. Agenda item 6, we're now on a final item, public interest comments. If any member of the public wishes to speak at this time, please raise your hand now either in person by clicking raise hand at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Members of the public, if we can open the lines.
Madam Chair, would you like virtual comments first?
Sure, thank you.
Sure. Doug Flaherty, if you unmute, you can address the committee.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Members of the committee, and especially Mr. Yates, thank you for your wisdom, Mr. Yates. Nobody is opposed to a bus hub. They're opposed to the location. The chair should not have shut down public comment from the appellants. The reason being is it would have required some sort of a crystal ball to understand what we were going to say. So it could have still been connected to the issue. My comments were going to revolve around solutions, which were brought up during the hearing. So you shouldn't have shut us down. So in saying that, I would like the committee members individually to consider what harm it would do, if any, if in that eventual board decision that you made it clear that the second year, automatic second year, would not be part of the process going forward, meaning it would be removed from the original permit condition. And also that would go a long way to satisfying additional public comment, make sure this whole thing is vetted a little more clearly. Also, I would request that you have a community meeting. There's no harm in a community meeting. It's going to further more community input. I don't know of any Incline Village resident that's been rude or disruptive during their comments. They've all been very civil. So I think you need a community meeting, and I think that you need to bring that second year back to a public hearing to allow us the opportunity to make our comments on the record during a public hearing. Again, thank you for your consideration, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you. And then who's next in public comment, Catherine?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Erin Vanderpool, if you unmute, you can address the committee.
Hello, thank you, and thank you for your consideration. What I was going to say earlier is I wanted to ask if I could fill in the rest of Rhonda's 5 minutes since she didn't. But anyway, I can speak now. The problem from one of the things I faced is evidence. You know, I was, you know, like this is very obvious to me what's going on here, but it takes a lot of time. So those pictures that you saw that I sent in were just from a couple days that I actually took the time out of my life to go down there from what I've been seeing every day and actually take some pictures and videos. And the videos tell a much better story. I mean, but just being there tells a big story. And then one of the big issues I take issue with is that this use is similar to old elementary school. This clearly not, when you're going, I went to that school, and when you're going to school, I mean, there's the wave of dropping off kids off in the morning and afternoon. It's not all day or randomly. You know where you're going. Everybody knows where they're taking their kids to school. Tourists don't know where they're going. Tourists, even when like there's signs that people aren't going to park there, even when the parking lot wasn't full, I witnessed people parking and driving on HOA property and parking in the business lots and walking in. And for any of that, I'd like to see a third party person collecting this data, an independent source. And then, you know, looking at the problems you're trying to solve with parking over on 28, you're doing is kicking the can down the road by still allowing this to move forward in this neighborhood. This is a low income neighborhood. The wealth gap's grown so big that you have like all of Incline empty, and then the working class lives here. It's just an extra burden to us. And as far as the police, I've had many discussions with police officers out here, and they've told me they don't have the resources to enforce our neighborhood. One unnamed officer told me that he was told they basically given up on our neighborhood. I've been standing there talking with a police officer for a car parked under a no parking sign, and he tells me that he has, you know, it's in his discretion on whether or not he gives a ticket, and he chooses not to give it a ticket. So, I mean, this is just kicking the can further down the road. We need public transportation, obviously, but this is just terrible. And, you know, all I hear from the TDD is, you know, their larger transportation plan. I mean, this is part of, that's their argument. But when you look at the specific site here, this is not a good idea. You're bringing the tourists into the low-income area and creating these safety issues, environmental issues, and just an extra burden on people like me having to go out and actually prove what's obvious to me. Thank you.
Thank you. Catherine, anyone else wishing to speak?
Madam Chair, there are no other hands raised to comment on this item.
Thank you. With that, I'll close public comment. And at this point, is there a motion to adjourn? And all in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Okay, thank you all.